I'm your host, Samaita Graver, and I want to welcome you to Truth, Salt, and Spice, the podcast, where you will find conversations steeped in biblical truths, sprinkled with salt, and a dash of spice thrown in, you know, for good measure.
So, we're going to be talking about preparing for Holy Week, or as some call Easter. And I know that in the last episode, talking to Kai, when I moved from Puerto Rico to here, this whole calling things Easter and the Easter Bunny and that whole thing was just like, what in the world is this? Because we don't do that over there.
You don't do Easter in
no.
How? Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
No, I was like, Easter, what does bunnies and Easter have to do with Jesus' resurrection? Like, what's wrong with you folks? I mean, and it wasn't a, oh, that's different. It was, I'm judging you. What is wrong with you? Like, that is holy, sacred. And you guys are all here running around looking for eggs.
Wow. Let me tell you, Samantha, that you're not the only one that judges, because we have plenty of people when I lived in Chicago, and there's certain areas where they were very heavily Jewish communities. Uh-huh. And I promise you, they would look at people like cross-eyed, like, y'all Christians and your Easter bunny, you know, like kind of thing. So the judgment runs far and wide.
Oh, I
so,
love
you it. Know, since then, I'm like, whatever, to each their own. And so it's fine, but I'm just saying, that's how I came in. Fresh off the boat, full of judgment.
What for judgment?
I'm not fond of it still, but you know, it's not like I haven't ever let my kids participate in something here or there or whatever. I'm just not going to make that big deal about it. But it definitely, the whole Lent thing was a thing, you know, fish on Fridays. And, you know, the Lent thing never meant much to me though, even though it's huge in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
But Holy Week, that definitely was, I definitely remember it being sacred and something very important to me. And I guess just using the word Easter doesn't give it, like it's Jesus' resurrection, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so saying Easter to me just doesn't mean anything. It just gives, you know, it just falls flat for me. Is all. So I still use it. It's not like, you know, here and there or whatever, but in my heart of hearts, it's Holy Week and it's Resurrection Sunday. It's not Easter Sunday. But anyway, so I don't recall as, a, you know, I guess the purpose of Lent was getting prepared, you know, for that week or whatnot, but I never understood it as a child and I never pursued it much as an adult either after I stopped going to Catholic Church and moved here and stuff. So to me, it really just, I missed the connection along the way. For sure. But what about you guys? What did you grow up with? And what do you think about it now? Do you participate? Do you come up with your own thing? Do you follow something? Does your church do something?
Yeah.
As far as Lent and getting ready for Holy Week.
I grew up Catholic. And so Lent was a big deal. I went to Catholic schools. And so Lent was a pretty big deal. You know, I didn't understand it as a young person either. I was more scared of it. Like, and it felt like a season where everything had to be taken away. No meat on Fridays. My mother would give me a dollar to go eat pizza because I didn't eat fish. You know, so it was like, I'm, you know.
You didn't eat fish?
Oh, I still don't. Mm-mm. No, I'm not a fan of fish. So everything was like fish sandwich. Everything's, I don't know why people think the alternate of meat is fish, but you can have pasta. Like it doesn't have to be, it's just no meat, you know, but somebody pizza. And I remember the one thing I do remember is on Good Friday in my home, like there was no TV on, there was no radio. There was, you just sat, you didn't do anything.
And you guys were hardcore.
Well, my mother was hardcore. Hardcore.
Wow.
But she never really had a conversation about what it was. We knew in because we were in Catholic school that Jesus died. And at 3 o'clock, it was like silence. Like we are observing 3 o'clock is when he died. cállense, be quiet. Like, there's no talking, there's no, you know, and and so I hated Good Friday. It was like this, oh my gosh, everything gets taken away and we have to think about Jesus dying on a cross. And as a young kid, you know, as a young kid, I didn't really appreciate what that was, because I didn't understand what resurrection was. But I also was waiting for, you know, Sunday, because we got baskets. We got Easter baskets. And so we were like, okay, once Good Friday ends, we got a basket when we came home from church. And so there was
Friday sacrifice.
Yes, yeah, that sacrifice.
Came with the basket.
And then the celebration with the basket on Sunday, you know?
Celebration, that's right. With a basket, a big basket on Sunday with all the treats. And I remember it was like a Easter in for us was festive. Like women wore hats and we got dressed up and it was like something to be celebrated. And I remember being in the church and everybody wore flowers. And I mean, I remember walking, like when we would walk to church in the Bronx, like everyone would be dressed up, you know, and it was like going to church, you know, and just like, you know, now people go to church during those like Christmas and Easter and, you know, during those holy holidays, but the church would be packed, people would be in there. And it was just a celebration, you know, and that I remember. But I remember being more scared. And we talked about sacrifice, like you have to, like, you know, fast something. But, you know, but when you're kids, you didn't do that. After I stopped being Catholic, it was hard to get out of that. You should be doing something. Ash Wednesday, like I kind of felt like I was supposed to be doing something and it felt weird not doing it. Because it was such a tradition that I grew up with, like it just felt odd that I'm like, I can eat meat. Like, you know, like, because I didn't even understand why we didn't eat meat then. I didn't get it. It was just a tradition. As an adult, and it's funny that you said about Easter, but I agree with you in that. I never liked associating Easter baskets and bunnies and candy with Easter, but I did equate it with spring. And so I always try to do something with my daughter for springtime. Like, oh, let's hide eggs in the house. And let's, because we don't have a park, we in the Bronx, you know, let's hide eggs and let's do this. And it was always more of a celebration of the beginning of spring after being, you know, because I agree. I didn't like the you know, relating both. It just made no sense. So we still do Easter eggs and we still do the thing. But again, it's more spring, like a springtime thing. But now as an adult, I love Lent. I love Lent. And I also love Advent. And part of it is because one of the things that I realized that I missed was that when I didn't do something, I just kind of arrived at the holiday. Like it was kind of like, oh, Easter. And I didn't feel like I had any kind of like deep connection. Like Holy Week, you know, is good, but you know, just even the preparation. So now what I do is that I try to do, and again, I don't get religious on it. Some years I do it, some years I don't, but I try to do some kind of study about Jesus that leads me to understand more about who he is, leads me to understand about the sacrifices, lead me to understand who he was in this world, what he did for me. And I do try to sacrifice some things and fast. But again, the fasting is not because you're doing something. The fasting is really an opportunity to get to know, to just really hear from him, or to just spend time. So sometimes it's fasting, you know, social media or fasting TV or fasting food, but any kind of like idols that are getting in the way of that relationship, I try to spend those 40 days really just trying to get to know Jesus, you know. And I have really enjoyed it. And it's now become a really special season and something that I look forward to. Like, like 1 year I did Lisa Turker's, I went to go find, that's what I was doing. I did Finding I Am and How Jesus Fully Satisfies the Cry of Our Heart. Oh my goodness. This was one of the best studies I've ever done, because Lisa Turker's from Proverbs 31 Ministry went to Israel, and she kind of walked us through and helped me to really understand this whole journey that Jesus did. And it just opened my heart to a whole new way of just really enjoying and getting to know Jesus. So yeah, that's been my experience. So now I really do it and I look forward to it.
What about you, Miss Jessica?
Bueno, I have all kinds of different experiences with it because growing up, I was born and raised in the Pentecostal church. My mom didn't come to the faith until like my sisters were in their teen years, you know, and there's a little bit of an age gap between me and my sisters. So when her and my father got married, she wasn't in the church. And so they got married Catholic. My mom was, you know, Catholic traditions. And so growing up, it was very interesting because from my mom's perspective, we did not do Lent, right? Because Lent was a very Catholic thing that she associated with her upbringing. My dad, jokingly, I say he was atheist except on Good Friday when we had to eat fish, you know? I mean, my father never cared for anything, you know, church, religion, none of it, right? Not Catholic, not Christian, not any of it. Pero Viernes Santo, Good Friday, mommy was cutting up a fish, frying the fish, doing the whole escabeche, you know, the pecado.
Mm-hmm.
I don't eat fish, right? So it was like, somebody help me here, right?
Yeah.
And so growing up, the only thing I knew with Lent, quote unquote, was my friends didn't eat meat on Friday. Mm-hmm. And I'd be the one of that, oh, well, I'm Christian. It's all fair game for me, you know?
Right.
Like, and so, and it's ignorance, obviously, growing up for some things. Good Friday was, you know, kind of that day. And then Easter Sunday was like the big day. Like Easter Sunday in the Christian world is like Super Bowl Sunday, you know, mm-hmm. because it's when the most people are going to go to church. It's, you know, when they have the almost the highest attendance outside of Christmas. So same thing. I remember, and I have pictures of me as a little girl with my hats on and my little fancy dresses and my little socks, you know. But in older, I think I've come to understand everything from such a different perspective. So I do not observe Lent because, again, like, vice versa, like from Leslie. Leslie, you felt like I should be doing something because I always did something growing up. For me, I never did anything growing up.
Yeah.
So it was like, no, this is not my time to, you know, to do anything now. Holy Week, same thing like you said, Samaita, was, and I also went to pretty much a Puerto Rican church growing up. Mm-hmm. So it was Holy Week, you know, and we had church every day of Holy Week. And every day of Holy Week, they were going over every year was the seven words that Jesus said on the cross.
Mm.
I mean, back in the day, I could tell you those sermons to a T because it was literally the same sermons every single year, but it was such an emphasis on the cross and the sacrifice and just all of it and the importance and what did those words mean on the cross and why were they so significant to that time and to our time now. So it's again kind of that mixed, you know, upbringing of what it was. And I would say now I've come to understand that in a way where it's like, okay, I will give it to Catholics, right? I'm not Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a dedication to that time and a reverence to that time that to me, there's something to be learned there, right? And so I don't have to, for me, with any kind of like, and I'm not talking just your like, I'm talking like your real Catholic, hardcore Catholics, right? Not your like.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was going to say, I don't know about that. I think people have to do it out of tradition, not necessarily.
Right. I'm talking about like the people
but they
that
are.
Have.
Yep.
Right. And even out of the tradition, because again, go outside of Catholicism, go into all these other religions in the world, there's certain things that they do
mm-hmm.
within their religion that, again, I don't have to agree with all of it, but there's something to be learned for the reverence and dedication to a certain time period. And that's what I've come to understand about Lent now. There's, mm-hmm. it's 40 days in preparation for the cross. And what does that mean? So it's this observance of understanding, man, this is what Christ's life was like, the 40 days leading up to that mm-hmm. cross. These were all of the intentional decisions that Christ made to get to that cross. This was, I mean, it's just, there's so much in that time period that I feel like people nowadays, especially in the Christian world, get so hyper-focused on a word or associate something to just a particular religion that we forget to take the step back to even see, like, what does it mean in general? Because
I always
chuckle at the fact, you know, people like, Lent's not in the Bible. Well, Christmas is not in the Bible either, people.
It sure isn't.
Let's talk about that, right? Mm-hmm. Christmas was technically a pagan holiday that has changed, right? That we've chosen to observe. It's not when Christ was born, you know, December 25th was not when he was born. Right. So as a, for lack of a better word, a religion, we've chosen to take this day in observance and recognition of, right? Mm-hmm. That is what Lent is for so many people. Now let's take a different viewpoint on it, right? Let's remove the word Lent. Let's just say that the 40 days leading to up to the cross and the crucifixion and everything is a time for reflection. You know, so if I was to go to my small group or my Bible study group or my church, and we're just gonna say, hey, let's take these next 40 days and let's reflect on the life of Christ and his miracles and his teachings and who he was and how he treated people and what led to the cross. Nobody would object to that. They wouldn't, right? Because of the way it's framed. And so I think I've learned as an adult to look at Lent from that perspective and not just associate it to what Catholics do, you know?
Right. And there's a lot of other denominations that celebrate it too. Like, it's not even, and that's one of the things that I learned. Like, I didn't realize, I thought it was more of a Catholic thing, but there's a lot of non-Catholic denominations that do celebrate and say Lent. Protestants do it. Like, there's a lot.
Ash Wednesday. I mean, I went to a church for a little while and I'm like, never have we celebrated Ash Wednesday. And they celebrated Ash Wednesday, but they helped us understand what Ash Wednesday was. It wasn't just about, this is what we do on this day. There was the reasoning behind it. And yes, we're associating it, I feel like, here with Catholicism because of our upbringings, because of our background. Mm-hmm. But you're 100% right. There are a lot of different denominations that do observe this time. For me, it's always going to be Holy Week, because that's just, again, part of my upbringing, part of, you know, where, how I came to really understand the cross in such a different way. Because I think those 7 days are so telling to humanity. When you look at Palm Sunday to the crucifixion, I mean, that's just humanity in a nutshell of, we love you, Jesus, crucify him. You know, like, that's how we are in general. And so I think for me, that's what that time is. I've never been an Easter Bunny person. Also, call me cheap, right? I am not spending money on Easter baskets. I am not doing none of it, right? So my kids got Easter baskets because my sister was like, she's all about all of the holidays, right? Valentine's, they got bags. Easter, they got bags. Graduation, they got bags. Like, she's just that person, right? For me, it was like, no, we're going to church and we're going to talk about Jesus. And then Easter dinner, right? The Resurrection Sunday. Our church started, you know, calling it Resurrection Sunday back home, right? They kind of try to go away from that. And so, yes, for me, it was always that, let's gather, let's break bread. Because so Easter dinner was always a big thing and still is a big thing for me, because it's a time to break bread and reflect on what the day is. Right. So that's just kind of my hodgepodge of my experience with Lent and this whole time period.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, because of the I don't know what it is. I guess, you know, we have so much abundance in this country, they won't have anything else to do but then to fight about these things. Meaning Easter versus, you know, Holy Sunday. I mean, Holy Week or Resurrection Sunday. And I think at some point I just decided that that was not something that I was going to allow to become a friction point amongst brothers and sisters. Like, it's just not going to be. And so I just felt like that was important to say, like, whether you say Easter or you don't, whether you like do stuff with eggs, bunnies, or you don't, or whether you do Lent or you don't. It's a moot point. It really is just not what does the Bible say that we shouldn't argue unless it's that scripture came to my head. The XIV, unless it's matters of something, not salvation, but basically there are certain matters that are just, there are very few worth fighting, mm-hmm. arguing about, and that's definitely one of them.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Hold on. As you were talking, Jessica, I was reminded, I'm going back to my childhood. And, you know, when this recording comes out, Lent will have been way on its way already. We'll probably be about 3 weeks before Easter, Holy Week, whatever. And so it's not like we're coming here trying to, oh, let's, you know, talk about what are you going to do for Lent right. at this point. Right. Whoever started it probably started it. And maybe, you know, some people are interested and maybe something they want to do next year. But for me, Lent, like I said, it just was time to eat great fish. Oh my gosh, I love fish. It's just awesome. But I was never an overly like emotional child. It was very black and white and very fact-based and whatnot. But there was something about Holy Week that I could connect mm-hmm. to Jesus on a level of that really touched me.
Yeah.
And I loved seeing the, is it the processions? Is that how you say it in English? And mm-hmm. all the stages of the cross and all that stuff. Like there was just something to me that just, I needed that as a reminder every year. I really did. Because, you know, I would just go on my merry way. And there was definitely something sacred about that. I love going into, I haven't done this in a long time, but I do like going into cathedrals. Even though I don't worship, you know, as a Catholic, and seeing the stained glass windows sometimes with the different mm-hmm. stations of the cross and things like that. Yeah. There's just something about that that I feel like it puts me in my place as a human mm-hmm. yeah. kind of thing. And so that's why I thought that was good to talk about this, because whether we decide to follow a study or whether we just never saw the importance of it, or whether we're just curious. I think anything that in the end draws us closer to Jesus and teaches us about who God is game. I don't care where it came from.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I what I've seen is, you know, when you were talking, Jessica, it's more of the people who do it for tradition's sake, which drives me crazy. That right. I mean, that really drives, because I think that it's such an opportunity for anyone. Like if you're going to do a tradition and it's not biblical, it isn't, it's something that, you know, people do, but if you're going to do something and spend time like sacrificing meat, you know, and then constant, I love it when people are constantly like, oh, what are you going to give up for Lent? And what are you going to give up for Lent? And what are you going to, and that's not the purpose of fasting, you know? And interesting enough, I'm in a group in my business with these coaching women, and we just happened to start talking about it. She's like, oh, what are you going to give up for Lent? These are non-Christians at all. And so it was an opportunity for them to talk, for me to talk to them about, well, you know, when you're fasting and this is what this is, and this is really an opportunity. But it's sort of like what's known, like, what are you giving up? And what, and it's more of like a badge of honor, like, oh, no more chocolate because, you know, Lent is here versus, you know, the sacrifice of fasting is really an opportunity to connect with God. And I didn't mm-hmm. learn that in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. I learned it as an obligation, like something, you know, giving up meat.
Yeah.
For what purpose? Was just because it was Lent, and not the understanding of what fasting is and what it really is supposed to do. And I think now I think that I'm a little bit of a, you know, I get crazy when I'm like, well, that's not what it's about. That's not what fasting is about. And let me tell you, because I don't want people to do it for, you know, tradition's sake. It doesn't serve a purpose if you're just doing it for a tradition, but it's such a wonderful opportunity to get to know the word and to get to know a different side. Last year I did a Holy Week with a friend of mine named Valerie, and she really had never done anything like that. And it was, oh my gosh, such an amazing, sweet time. We learned so much. She had never really read the Bible like that before. And she learned so much. And it was like, by the end of it, you're just, I think what you said, something like that, you put in your place. And it's just a reminder of the sacrifice, the true sacrifice that really is the cross and what that really means in our lives. And I remember the Stations of the Cross used to freak me out. Like, I remember being scared of them. They weren't, like, I remember not wanting to see that. I never liked seeing anything, any crucifixion movie, because I just didn't even want to see, like, Jesus did that for me. I would never. Like, hey, he did that for us. Oh no, I don't want to see any of those things. And I think as an adult, part of it is understanding how much Jesus loves you. And when you begin to really get that, then that becomes easier to see. But I, for a long time, I was like, no, I don't like seeing that. I don't want to accept that he did that for me. And it's a process, but I agree with you. Something like that it does put you in your place, and it puts you in a space of wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you mentioned this, Amaita, because when you say we have such an abundance of everything that all we have is time to argue about things, right? And this is one of those times of year, right, where I would caution the listeners to really pause, because before we're going to argue about is Lent biblical, not biblical, whatever the case may be, are we playing into the hands of the enemy where we're allowing one more time of division to come within the church surrounding a topic, whether it's tradition or not, right? So again, you have Catholic churches and Protestant churches that both celebrate Lent, right? And then you have the camp that doesn't. And so they're going to argue about this. Oh, we shouldn't do Lent. Lent is this, Lent is that.
Yeah.
But if you pause to think, and again, tradition or not, we're really going to position ourselves in a place to argue with other people about taking time out to acknowledge this time of year and what it means.
Right. It makes no sense. Not, yeah.
If that's not the enemy at work, at his finest, right? And again, he doesn't have to do much work there, right? Then I don't know what is, because if as a body of believers, first of all, we have to realize that this body of believers is not all made up of certain types of Christians, right? Because Christianity is made up of so many different types of denominations, right? Because at the core of Christianity is Jesus died for our sins, right? On that cross, and he rose, which is what Lent is all about, right? And so when we are going to take the time to sit and argue about the semantics of observe this, don't observe this, do this, don't do this, all of it, and there's so much that people argue about, where are we honoring the Lord in any of that at all? Because the Bible tells us not to bring up strife against each other, right? So again, if somebody wants to observe this time of year and they want to call it Lent, and they're taking the time of year to really spend time with the Savior and the cross and everything like that, who are we to say anything?
Right.
On the flip side, if somebody's just doing it out of tradition because they grew up Catholic and this is what they did and there's no real connection to it, then why are we worried about that? And why are we not more concerned with helping them understand the true meaning of the cross versus you shouldn't be doing that. Lent's not even a thing, you know?
Right.
And I really, really hope that as people hear us talk about this, that it would bring that to mind of what am I arguing for? If I am one of those people, because like you said, Zamaita, you came in with all the judgment in the world, right? I grew up with all the judgment in the world. Not that I necessarily like, because I didn't understand the difference, but my home, it was very judgmental on Lent and all of these things, right? So taking our precepts away, taking our, you know, like what we know, if people are going to take this time aside to just even acknowledge what this season is in a time in our country, and I'm specifically speaking to our American Western country, right? In a time where it's almost like cursing to say the name of God or that you're a Christian or you're a believer, right? Why argue with that? Just why? Just let God's name be out there. Let the season be out there. Let the recognition of the fact that it is a Lent season, which is the in Spanish, the Cuaresma, it's 40 days before the cross. That's all it really means, right? Let it be out there, because that's just one more way that Christ is being talked about, mm-hmm. right? And then in the people that you're in true relationship with or that are following you, that you have influence over, those things, then you talk about the deeper relationship about it. Because if I'm a new believer and all I'm hearing is all this arguing about Lent and not Lent and this and that and blah, 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 I'm like, what's this religion crap about? I don't want to be a part of this. They argue more than this than when I wasn't in church. Mm-hmm. But if I'm a new believer and I'm hearing, oh, this is the time of year and people use this as tradition, and then someone like you, Leslie, who understands the depths and the meaning and is so excited about it, talks to me about the significance of fasting and sacrifice and really just consecrating yourself to the Lord for a time period, doesn't that reach the souls of people in such a different way?
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that's my little soapbox of basically telling people, yeah. stop arguing about things, yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I've never come across people arguing about it. Mm-hmm. I've never experienced that myself. I've seen, you know, in New York in particular, where I am, it's a big, we have a lot of Catholic churches and we have a lot of, a lot of Catholic schools. There's a order of brothers, and every Palm Sunday they come out with, in a parade, and they give out palms, which I love. I wait for them. So I'm like, oh, it's so like, it's just an excitement in the air, for that week. It's interesting that you said, I've never heard people arguing about it. And it could be just because of where I am, that it's not necessarily something that is just expected. Mm-hmm. And that we're going to see a lot of palms. We're going to see a lot of, the Catholics come out, and it's just expected. Like, this is just what this is. So it's interesting that you point that out, because there could be, even online. I know that, especially now that we're in an online space, it could be something that's contentious, and I have an email list, sharing my faith, and I've taken the time this week to just kind of share different things that I'm learning in my study. Every week I'm just sending a little like, hey, this is what I'm learning. This is what, just to help people, just to entice them to read, and read the word, or just get excited about the season, or even be interested in Holy Week,
Mm-hmm.
But I agree. I mean, I think once we open ourselves up to the online world is where you see people really coming out for or against, but in here, that's just what you do. it's just part of what you do.
I was thinking about the whole fasting thing, and it's funny because I never processed the not eating meat on Friday as a fasting thing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call that? What would you call fasting? Ayuno, but we didn't use that word for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's like a sacrifice, like sacrificing something.
Well, I didn't even grow up with that. Like, I had to think, like, why didn't we do that? And we didn't eat meat because, we ate fish because fish, they don't bleed profusely. They have very little blood. And so Jesus was sacrificed on a Friday and he shed his blood. So we didn't eat meat because of the blood.
Oh,
that's what I grew up with.
I'd never even heard of that.
Yeah. And so it was we eat fish because, I mean, they have blood, I guess. But, when you kill a fish, it's just, I have done it. I fish. I love fishing or whatever. So I know that there isn't a whole lot of blood everywhere, that's guts. Yeah. But not blood.
Yeah.
And so that was it. It was a trying to stay away from blood, because when he was sacrificed, he shed his blood for us. So we didn't eat meat. That's what that meant, which never made any sense anyway, but, but I loved eating the fish. So it wasn't a sacrifice for me at all.
It wasn't, and I ate pizza. It wasn't a sacrifice for me either. Right. I was looking forward to my little dollar to go get a dollar slice.
Well, and it's so funny because you say that, right? I'm here chuckling to myself because, again, here's me and my ignorance, right? I would have been like, well, Jesus' miracle was the loaves and the fishes. So fishes would be allowed during that time of year, like.
Well, like, see, that's what I did. Yeah, that's a good.
Never would have had the blood or anything, but. It's right. I'm with you. I'm tracking with you, Samaita, because technically it's a form of fasting, right? The no eating meat on Friday, mm-hmm. or whatever people give up for that whole time period, right? It is fasting, but the way we grew up, it was never associated with fasting in that way.
Right.
But also because I think the way that most of the traditions grew up, they didn't refer to it as a fast. It was, like you said, a sacrifice or like denying of yourself, you know, kind of thing. But that's what fasting is, you know? Right. And so I think I'm with you because I'm like, never would I have seen. Again, I was the freca, right? I'm the one here, like everybody knows. Oh, you can't eat me. I'm like, I can't do what, girl? I'm Christian. I could eat my meat, you know? I said, Jesus rose, okay? We are all good in that neighborhood of things, you know? And so that was me. And the funny thing is, I promise you, till this day, my father-in-law calls us as soon as it's Ash Wednesday and says, just so you remember, you can't eat meat on Friday. And 17 years later, right?
Oh my God.
That me and my husband have been married at this point, or will be in a couple months. It's like, no, like we can eat meat. That's not it, you know?
Yeah. My mom does the same thing. She's like, oh, and it's funny because when I started working at a Catholic school, and in the Catholic church, they celebrate these things. And so Ash Wednesday comes along and they have a service for the girls. It's a high school. And all of a sudden I see the girls with the ashes on their forehead. And I was like, what's happening? Miss Lombardo, you're not getting your ashes? And I was like, no.
I put lotion on.
I was like, oh, I don't celebrate Lent. And then I would eat sandwiches, ham and cheese sandwiches for lunch. Miss Lombardo, we don't eat meat. I'm like, oh, I do. Oh man. You know, like, because again, I was totally, because I'm not religious about it. I don't, not religious, but not consistent. Like, I don't always, I really try to do Holy Week, but Lenten study, I don't always do. And so, I was just out of practice and I was like, oh, wait, I have to hide my sandwich or eat it when the girls aren't eating because they have fish sticks, you know?
Well, and they don't understand it, you know?
And like, they don't. A lot of
back to that age, they're not going to understand it because we didn't understand it much at that age.
A lot of them aren't practicing Catholics. So they just do it because they're in the school and it's part of just
it's required, service. Yeah.
It's required, but it's not necessarily something that they sort of get, although they are in religion class and the teacher does a great job of trying to, you know, especially because they're at the age where they can understand. But like us, like I was like, yeah, okay. You know, it wasn't something that I really understood until I was an adult, you know?
Well, you want an
interesting
fact? You want an interesting fact about Good Friday for me?
What?
Good Friday is the day that my husband and I got married in the court.
No way.
And it was good.
And it was good. Yes. It is Good Friday. So we took advantage.
Yeah, Good Friday is supposed to be silence. Silence.
In Puerto Rico, I don't know if it's still the same, but nobody worked on Good Friday up to 20 something years ago that I moved here. So this is even recent. Like, I don't know if it's changed because a lot of times, you know, the US things trickle down to Puerto Rico and things change. A lot of the culture in that sense has changed. So even when I moved here, I had mentioned in the last episode with Kai that the first Good Friday I worked in, I was here and I was just like, what, we're open at the office? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, no, like, I can't work. Like, that's not religious. Right. Like, I was traumatized. So every year, I have to take a vacation day.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
For Good Friday.
I would take it off. Only Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah, I would take off the days as well. And it was like, why are you taking off? I'm like, because it's Good Friday. What do you mean, why am I taking off? It's Good Friday.
And I've always worked for companies where it was a recognized holiday. So like, well, even if they were open, it wouldn't count against my vacation time for me to take it off because it's considered a religious holiday. And then Easter Sunday, all my jobs were always closed. Even when I worked in retail, Easter Sunday, it was closed. And so it was like, I always had that where it was like, okay, I didn't have to like kind of worry about that thing. And then of course I work for ministry now, so I have it off,
Right. Okay. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So, when I'm thinking here of the season of Lent now this year, and I really feel like I'm going through a whole evolving in the last 2020, 2021. And so, I started reading the Bible. Well, I started the year with fasting from social media for 40 days, and that was great. I went in and did a whole revamp of Facebook, and it's been so freeing. I'm like, the drama is gone, and I stayed where I wanted to stay and tweaked and I decided to be very purposeful with, I actually deleted pretty much everybody that lives around me, even. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to find me, you know where to find me, we can hang out, call me, mm-hmm. text me. I'm not doing
I know, this. I saw that. That was savage. I was like,
I'm not doing this thing. If we live close to each other, we want to be in a relationship, we can do it in real life. Otherwise, I'll see you at church on Sunday, or I'll see you at the supermarket and say hi, you know. Because Facebook does not determine the value of who you are or our relationship. It's just not it. Mm-hmm. People, I think, decided that that's what it was, and it never was for me. Anyway, so that's that. But I've been reading the Bible then chronologically as well. And I was thinking, you know, I've never read the whole Bible from cover to cover, like in one sitting like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm here thinking, I know I've read a lot of the Bible, but it's just either through Bible studies or whatnot, you know, chunks. But this morning I finished Leviticus. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've read 4 entire books of the Bible already, and it's mid-February. I was so like excited. but I think it's, and I feel that's my little Lenten thing going on, even though it'll go way on after that. Mm-hmm. But it's kept me very focused on God the Father and how much. I mean, I look at the stuff from the human perspective. I think, oh my gosh, like all these rules and the sacrifice this and the priest didn't need to do this and the blood there and the whatever and all this stuff, you know, Leviticus. But I think of, you know, he really wanted to be in such close relationship with us that he gave us every minute detail. And he said the same stuff over and over and over, just like we do with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have I told you to close the door? Turn off the light, you know, close the refrigerator, feed the cat, you know, whatever it is. And so patiently, he would tell Moses, tell the people, and then again over, and they weren't even at the land yet.
Right.
So this is in preparation to get there, and over and over and over. He really wants to be in relationship with us,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and just seeing that part of his character from the very beginning, you know, because mm-hmm. the Bible's an overarching story from beginning to right. end of who God is, the relationship with his people, and then ultimately with us Gentiles, you know, and whatnot. And I've never had a problem with the God of the Old Testament. I think a lot of people think he was cruel, whatnot. I'm like, no, he was black and white. If you don't do this and you're agreed, then that's your problem.
Yeah. I've never had a problem with that. Yeah, I tell all new Christians, don't start with the Old Testament, man. I'm in Joshua right now, and today, as a matter of fact, today's was, I think, chapter 6.
When, what?
In Joshua, in the book of Joshua, okay. which is my mm-hmm. favorite book, but I'm on chapter 7, where we have somebody who was disobedient, and he was disobedient, and his whole family went down, his family, his even his donkeys, ox, everything, you know, went down, and it was... like just, it was such a reminder of how holy God is, of how holy he is. And when he says do something, do it, you know, but also the need for Jesus, you know, because it, you know, because of that, you know, we were, you know, we have that connection now through Jesus, because, you know, and it was such a reminder, like, man, God is still God. Like sometimes we forget. Like if he really wanted to get rid of every single one of us right now, he can absolutely do it. You know, we can, you know, eat very easily, take advantage of that, take advantage of grace and take advantage of mercy and just do what we want. And it was, the Old Testament is a reminder of who he is. And it's like, wow, you know,
well,
for your sacrifice.
When you look at all of it, right, through the Old Testament, leading to the cross. I mean, again, God was silent for 400 years. God left the people of Israel in the wilderness. You know, we have to think about it from a different perspective too. And I think most people don't like looking at it. Yes, we have to fear God because God is God, and God can choose to speak us out of existence the same way he spoke us into existence, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. He can do all of that. But we also have to remember that we're made in his likeness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I want you guys, you know, especially the people listening, to think, if you had somebody in your life that you continually over and over and over and over and over and over again had to tell them the same thing about how to be in relationship with you and how to respect you, wouldn't you get tired at some point and be like, ah, you're a lost cause? Like, I mean, think about it, right? Because we've had those people in our lives that it's like, you can have the hard conversations with and say, hey, you can't cross this boundary, or hey, you can't do this. And all of the Old Testament is basically God doing that with his people. And then Jesus finally coming in and being graceful and all of that on top of it. Whereas we would have given up on somebody. And we probably have had those people in our lives that we've washed our hands of and like, I'm done with you. I've told you enough times how to be in relationship with me. I've told you enough times what my boundaries are. We've had those people in our lives. And God didn't say, I'm washing my hands of you. God said, I'm sending my son for you. So when people think he's this old, like, mean God, no. He was loving in all of it, that even despite all of who we were, he still said, I'm going to send Jesus, right? And Jesus still said, I'm going to go. Because then how many of us are really going to go be the one like, I'll sacrifice for that person. That person that got on your last nerve for the 50 million time because you know they did not follow whatever rule needed to be followed, right?
With the same thing.
For the same thing, the same thing. Because at the end of the day, it's still the same thing. And we have to remember that by the time we get to Jesus, by the time we get to Holy Week, by the time we get to the cross, God wiped out humanity twice. Right. Well, not all of humanity. Once all of humanity wiped out a whole nation, right? When you go back to Sodom and Gomorrah, they were so, like, the Lord despised what they did so much that he got rid of that whole country, nation, whatever they were. So it's not that he wouldn't act upon it, right? Because if you look at what we're doing nowadays, if you look at our culture, our society, and all of that, we should be clinging on and so much more grateful for the cross now than ever, because we see the perversion around us of everything, right? Just the greed, the hatred, the pride, the arrogance, the just all of it, right? We see it all around us. And God's not going to treat us like he did Sodom and Gomorrah because of Jesus, because of the sacrifices, because he's there to say, but I died for them, right? And so Holy Week to us and preparation to Holy Week for us and the cross and the resurrection should mean so much more for us, especially after having lived through 2020. And I'm not just talking about the pandemic. I'm talking about all of 2020, right? All of the tensions, all of the hatred, all of the ugliness of humanity that came out. And people are surprised. And I just want to be like, go back and read the Old Testament. It was the same thing.
Right, right.
You had political leaders that raised up and treated people unfairly. You had greed. You had all kinds of things. So what we've dealt with is no different than what was in the Old Testament. What we have, though, that we can hold on to is what they didn't have back then, which is Jesus.
Right.
We have Jesus. We have him willingly dying for us. We have him taking the beatings. We have his chunks of his skin being ripped off of him for us, who we don't deserve it at all, but he did it. So when I think about this time and I think about the Bible as a whole and I think about how people view all of it, to me, it's just like, stop and take a step back and really think. And don't think of yourself as any better, because let me tell you, we need to really look at that mirror and look at how stinky we are, right? And how ugly we are, you know, and we have to recognize that. And I joke around a lot. One of my girlfriends one time, she goes, oh, Jess, do you realize that you have the same initials as Jesus Christ? You know, because I'm Jessica Coyazo. And I was like, oh, girl, but this JC operates in the BC a whole lot more than in the AD, you know?
Yes.
Like, I have to cling on to that AD. Yeah. I have to cling on to that, because left to me and my devices, I'll be as ugly as everything else out here. So right. this time, whether you started Lent or didn't start Lent, I would challenge people to really look at the next few weeks and look at, what does Palm Sunday mean? What does Holy Week mean? What did that cross mean? Not just back then, but what does it mean now in the midst of the culture and the society that we're living in? Because it means so much more than we are taking the time to acknowledge.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I totally agree. And I think that even with Yeah, I laughed when you said that you, because when I was reading Joshua this morning, and the guy stole something mm-hmm. when he wasn't supposed to. He stole a cloak, and I was like, I would have probably done it too. Like, ooh, qué lindo! Like, this is pretty. My daughter would love this. Like thinking of, like, yeah, we can't go along thinking that we wouldn't be like that. But and just thinking about how personal God is too. I agree with you what you were talking about before. Like, when you actually read the Old Testament, like, yeah, there's things that shock you, and they feel violent and they feel so raw. But then when you read what he did, and when you read the constant, do this, do that, like he was telling them, there was no vagueness. It was like, do this and then don't do this and then do this five times and do, like, it was very clear. The disobedience was just out there, and we're just like that, you know. But you know what, I would also encourage people that even if you know, when you're listening to this and you've never done anything, like, just read the Gospels. Like, even if it's the middle of March, you know, pick a gospel, pick John, pick my favorite is Mark. Mark is full of miracles. So, pick Mark, pick one of them and just read them and see who Jesus is. You know, like, don't be afraid of if you've never picked up the Bible at all, if you've never, you know, gone into Lent or done anything. It doesn't have to be Lent related, but just, I mean, for me, my time with during the season is always to get to know Jesus more, you know, to understand him a little, because the Bible's a living word, you know. And every time I've read Joshua before, but now I'm reading it again with new eyes, and you're like, I didn't think about this, and looking it through the lens of Jesus versus just looking at it as an Old Testament historical book that talks about the Jewish people moving into the Promised Land. But now I'm looking at this book through the lens of Jesus and the story, the full picture, and it's a living word. So, you know, don't be afraid of just picking up the Bible if you've never done anything like that, and just saying, you know what, let me just read the gospel and let me just see what it says about Jesus and what do I learn about it. You know, like, what do I know? What does he say? And how does he act? And you'll get something out of it. Even if it's just in 2 weeks, you'll learn something, you know, more than you knew before, because it is a living word. And we kind of forget that when you pick it up, you can have a completely different message than when you read it last year at the same time, you know?
Yeah. Depending on where you are. So, you know, when I know we're getting here close to wrapping up, when I think of was something that, that struck me the other day as I was reading is at some point God mentions that he wants his people to do these things because he didn't want them behaving like the nations around them when they move into the Promised Land. And I'm like, wow, he was setting them up to be holy, to be different. He says, be holy because I'm holy, you know? And, you know, in thinking of that being set apart, when we fast forward to Jesus, what other religion has their God sacrificing himself, his son, just to be in relationship, to be that bridge with his people?
Right.
I'm not an expert in other religions, but I haven't heard of anything like that.
No, it's
and
not.
So, mm-hmm. You know, when we go then to this time of maybe, perhaps if you want to focus on what's left, you know, till Easter here, because it'll be probably about 2 weeks, 3 weeks from the time that this airs. You know, God, in God's plan, it was always finding ways to make sure to bridge that gap and to have a connection with him from mm-hmm. the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. And so, you know, when you have Jesus sacrificing, which was the last thing, you know, the last sacrifice of blood, you know, for purification and forgiveness of sins, even that sets us apart and makes us holy as well. And I don't know about you, but I like feeling special. I'm like, he did that for me, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's just something, it's such a huge gift. And I spit in the face of it all the time. Like, I don't cherish it or carry it close to my heart. And I don't want to should, because that just doesn't get anywhere. But you know, I've been at this Christian thing for 20 something years. And that's not even counting, you know, whatever, how God was guiding me even as a teenager and, you know, all the things that were going on in my life. But when I, you know, made a decision and really, you know, decided to follow and really study and be more Christ-like, And I still fall so short. And, you know, some days I'm like, other days I'm like, thank God for grace and mercy, you know? So I hope that this episode serves as a, you know, reminder that we all come from different backgrounds and views of even, you know, things like Easter and Lent and, you know, denominations. But in the end, I hope we're drawn to focus on the fact that any tradition that we pick up that will draw us closer to God, like I mentioned before, and just knowing that Jesus' sacrifice is the ultimate gift that sets us apart, so that we have a continual relationship with God, is the ultimate, you know, lesson, I guess, for lack of a better word. I cannot keep talking in circles, but if you girls want to add anything there or say anything else?
Nope.
No, I'll be the last one.
Yeah.
Jessica, are you sure?
Yes, so you can feel special, something like that.
Oh, this is great. Well, as usual, ladies, it's been awesome. And I'll see you around on the interwebs.
Yeah.
And the rest of you listeners, may you draw closer to God in this season, however you choose to do so.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.